I've been excited about doing this for some time. After I arrived here, I discovered, much to my dismay, that several gentlemen wanted to attend the workshop. That was not in my plan, so I'm a nervous wreck, okay? No. Glad to have you, Donnie. You'll keep us on the straight and narrow. But some of the things that I had prepared to say, in all honesty, I thought we were all just going to be gals, so I had to make some shifts in what I was going to say a little bit. But as we thought about it, I talked with Bob Stevens. They did encourage me to let the men come join us because it is information that is helpful to anyone, since anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is the indwelling place of the Holy Spirit, is the temple. And so we need to keep that in good order. I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself as I am now. My husband, many of you know, is an associate staff member for the Navigators Organization. What that means is that he is a full-time instructor at a junior college in Fort Worth. We live in Hearst, Texas, northeast suburb of Fort Worth. And we minister primarily through the organization of the Navigators. The associate staff members draw their salary from other sources, and they minister primarily through the Navigators. Most of the full-time Navigator staff that you see are supported by individuals who provide them their salary through the Navigator organization. But he teaches physics and mathematics and engineering there. And we've been in Hurst in about 9 years. We both grew up in Denton. And we have two children. Our children were here with us last year for part of the time. Bob was conference director last year, and I just miss them very much. I'd like to have them here with us again. We have a daughter who'll be 13 next week and in junior high school. And she's just been up at Eagle Lake Camp a couple of weeks ago and just had a marvelous time. Just God just answered every prayer I prayed for up there. And our son is 10. He'll be in fifth grade. They're with grandparents most of this week. I spend a lot of my time doing the things that mothers do for a 10 and a 13-year-old, which involves a lot of time in the car, I'm discovering. A friend of mine saw a needlepoint recently over at Ola Podrida in Dallas that you could buy and do, and I told her to go back and get me one. It says, if a woman's place is in the home, why do I spend so much time in the car? I need to hang that in my den. But I'm also involved in our church activities, in our neighborhood, in the school activities. I enjoy very much leading and teaching Bible studies. And I get to speak occasionally, and that's something that I especially enjoy doing. So those kinds of things keep us busy. Also, my husband is responsible through the Navigators for a lot of the 2-7 discipleship ministry in the North Texas area and up into Oklahoma and Arkansas. And we share that with the Seiferts, or the Seiferts share it with us. I'm not sure which way it goes. And so I do most of the secretarial work for that, and that requires me spending about one day a week at my desk for that kind of information. That's a little bit about us now. Then I'd like to, just in starting, I'd like to tell you about how I came to be in this place called Glen Eyrie, or really how I came to be in the kingdom of God. That won't take very long, but just so you can identify with me as a person. One of my friends, we were chatting about this workshop the other night, and she said, well, I hope you start off right away telling them that you struggle and have problems too and are a sinner. And I said, oh, they'll know that by the time I finish. No doubt about that. There's a joke in the Navigators, but there's a lot of truth in it. That they always ask you to do a workshop on your weak area, and there is some truth in that. And while you're doing it, God works on you. And then I would like to share with you how I came to be behind this podium, how God brought me to where I could at all share with you anything about refurbishing His temple. And then we're going to look at some principles that have been especially helpful to me in this process that He's been doing in my life for primarily the last year, but really for the last 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years. And then we're going to see some facts, just some cold, hard facts. You may not like that part of it, but I hope that will be helpful to you. And we're going to look at some recipe and encouragement, some benefits of what we're talking about, and then we'll be through. So that's what I'm going to try and cover with you today. This is a workshop, so I would like some interaction along the line, and particularly if you've had any experience. As I say, I'm not the resident expert on this topic, and some of you may have studied and read and know some things about nutrition and exercise that will be helpful, particularly when we get into the area where we're looking at some scripture verses. Please feel free to chip in some that have been meaningful to you, and we'll make this kind of a little discussion time as we move into it. I grew up in a small town in the North Texas area. We had two colleges at that time. They're now universities in our town. And I have fond memories of growing up. It was a small town. I remember the streets that I used to walk everywhere had big oak trees shaded over and sidewalks that we rode our bikes on and walked on. And I walked to school and to the movies and to downtown and even down about three houses to the little corner market, which Joe probably doesn't know what a corner market is. This is before Safeways and Skaggs and Tom Thumbs. But we bought our meat and groceries down there at Mr. Hanna's grocery store on the corner. It's no longer there. And because we lived in a college town, lived right across the street from a girls' dormitory, we had a huge rooming and boarding house that my mother and dad ran. Had a great big front porch all across the front and the side of the house. And when I was in grade school, we moved there. And my mother was in her late 40s, and she began cooking for 200 boys for lunch and dinner. And we had 15 young college men who lived with us in the upstairs part of the big house. My dad was kind of general manager and overseer for the rooming and boarding house. And my sister and I, my sister's 2 years younger than I am, she and I helped out because at that point you needed all hands. When they hit, everybody went to work. And particularly in the summertime, I remember cleaning tables and doing the dishes. Did that a lot. And we'd wear our big aprons over our shorts and we'd be out there washing dishes. And a lot of my memories of growing up are fond memories. I really did most of my early years feel loved by my family, by my parents. But I did have some problems as I was growing up. I did well in school. I liked school, made good grades. I was cheerleader in the Honor Society and Student Council and all those things that are so important when we're growing up. But as I say, we did have some problems. My father was an alcoholic part of my growing up years. And in those junior high years, and those of you who've been through it and those of you who have children this age know that this is very common. I didn't know it at the time. I thought I was the only one in the world who felt ugly and unwanted. And I wasn't. I know that now. But then I wore glasses and I felt very unattractive and very unimportant and very insecure. And I think it's that insecurity that really motivated me to begin going steady with a boy. And I went steady with him. I don't know whether young people, do they go steady anymore? I don't know. I hope that fad is fast. But we went steady for a number of years, about six, until we married. And he did become my husband. And because of my own insecurities and his, we just started off badly, and it went steadily downhill. And the next 6 years were really years of suffering and many mistakes and many wrong things. And I was working full-time. I was going to school part-time, get my college degree. And that left very little time for building anything into a home or into a marriage relationship. And I really wasn't all that interested in doing it anyway. I liked going to school and felt like I did well there. And I liked working, like the people with whom I worked. And I didn't really like cleaning house and cooking and all those things in where I felt inadequate. So our relationship deteriorated and went steadily downhill until we came to a point where I felt like there was really not much hope for our marriage or our life. Neither one of us came from homes where divorce was an option, so I just assumed at that point that I would just live in misery for the rest of my life. Basically, you made your bed, now you lie in it type attitude. I know we don't have that attitude anymore today in our society, but then at that time, that was what I thought. So I would just live and be miserable and try to attend church occasionally, do some religious activities that might somehow put me in right relationship with God and just struggle along, be unhappy the rest of my life. And it was at this point in my life when several things came to a head, some crises occurred. First of all, my mother, with whom I was very close, developed cancer. And unknown to us, she only had 6 months to live and suffered quite a bit. At the same time, I found out I was pregnant for the first time. And it would have been her first granddaughter. And then along about this same time, about shortly after my daughter was born, I obtained my degree from college. And mother died 3 weeks before Carrie was born. So those were times of causing me to look inwardly at myself. And I really didn't much care for the direction that my life was taking. But to be honest, I didn't know much to do about it. And the answers that I had looked for and found hadn't seemed to fix up anything in my life. And God in his love knew that. And at this point in time, he brought into my life a woman who knew and loved him and walked with him. And she came in the form of my Sunday school teacher. And I remember that first Sunday that I heard her speak in a new Sunday school class. I knew instantly that her life in Christ was the real thing and mine was phony. And I couldn't have verbalized it at that point, but I left there that Sunday morning. And I still remember some of the things she told us that first Sunday. She knew the Word of God, and she lived it, and it was obvious in her life. And so I began to hang around her. And the more I hung around her, the more I was attracted to what I saw as the real Christian life. And as far as I could tell, it was the first person who had crossed my path who really lived the Christian life and who lived what this book had to say. Now, I'd been in church all my life, and there were some really fine people around me. The problem was probably more mine than theirs. But I just had never seen anyone who really took this word for truth and lived it out and had relationships that were guided according to God's word. So in the weeks that followed, a real struggle began in my heart and life. And I knew that I wanted to be like her, like what I saw in her life. Not a carbon copy of her, but what of the Christ life I saw in her. And yet I just wasn't sure whether I was willing to give up some of the things that I was clinging to and hanging on to. And whether I was willing, to invest the time and energy and effort to become what I knew it had required for her to become. You know, Paul said, "You follow me as I follow Jesus Christ." And in essence, that's what her life said to me. She said, "If you follow me, you'll become like Jesus Christ." And so I struggled. But in those days and weeks and months, she exposed us regularly to the Word of God and what His Word had to say for our lives, for our marriage, our homes, the gals in that Sunday school class, I began to realize that it was going to have to be God's way and not mine. And we prayed conversationally once a week. We decided from Sunday to Sunday was not enough. I couldn't make it from Sunday to Sunday, so she started us meeting on Thursday morning for conversational prayer, and we began to study a book called The Christian Home by Shirley Rice, which is very biblical. And as week after week, as we looked into that, I began for the first time in many, many years to think that there might be hope for me as an individual and hope for our marriage, and that God just might have a plan and a purpose for that. And so as He just dealt with my heart the next summer, been almost a year, I just in my bedroom knelt. And I had never disbelieved in Jesus Christ. I was not an agnostic or an atheist. I assented intellectually to the fact that He lived, that He died on the cross. I would even tell people that He died for me, but somehow I never made the connection between that and my life as I lived it. And I probably thought that I was a Christian. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, I could not get around. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And as I looked at my life, I knew that my life was as old as sin. There was nothing new in it. And so I just decided that night that I would place all my life, my beliefs, in what God said in this book. And even at that point my emotions were not there yet, I trusted God. If His word was true, and if He was true, to bring me to the point where my emotions would line up with what this book said. And so I just knelt there that night, late that night, and said, "Jesus, I believe that You lived and that You died and that You died for me and that You long to make a difference in my life. And as bad as it is, I give it all to You, every bit of it." And I picture my life at that point, and I've left out a lot of the details because they're very ugly, but I picture it like a ball of yarn that there was a girl knitting or crocheting. I never know the difference, which is which. She was doing one or the other to an afghan sitting right here this morning. And if you've ever seen the ball of yarn that ever gets tangled, have you ever had one get tangled? And it's just a mess. And the more you try to pull on it and untangle it, the worse it gets. The more knotted it becomes. And it's just. And I had been trying to pull on that ball of yarn in my own way, and it just kept getting worse and worse and more knots. And Jesus Christ reached in and found the end of the string and gently began to unravel it. And He is in the process now of making something beautiful of my life and of our home and of our marriage. And from that point on, I would love to report to you that everything went well. Had no problems, but you know differently. One of the things, of course, that I did recognize was that I would have eternal life because I believed in Him and was trusting in Him alone to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Another thing that happened, for which I'm very grateful, is that my husband who lived with me began to see a real difference in my life. And those who live with us know what we're like. And so as he observed the change in my life, I began to care about him as a person, about our home, about my child, learn how to be the kind of wife and mother that God intended. He was drawn to Jesus Christ, and God did. He didn't just patch up our marriage. He gave us a new one in him. And I just am really grateful for that. But one of the things that happened is that there were some changes immediately, but then do you know there are some areas in my life that I've struggled with ever since then? And I don't know if you've experienced that. And one of those areas has been regarding my weight and my health. And there have been many times when I've just almost gotten mad at God because I thought, now, Lord, you delivered me from this and from this and from this almost right away with very little effort on my part. Why in the world can't you just take away this problem that I've got regarding my weight and my weight gain and my lack of self-control and my lack of discipline in this area? Well, no answer. The heavens were quiet. And so I'd like to share with you now how he's led me in that area, and it's been a little bit different than when he saved me. I'm going to take just a few minutes, and I'm doing this for you to identify with me as a person, and hopefully some of the things that have happened in my life in this area you'll be familiar with, and then we'll get into the principles that God has shown me recently. In high school, I thought I was just kind of pleasingly plump. The way I described it. If I gained 3 or 4 or 5 pounds, then I'd, you know, skip supper for 2 or 3 or 4 days, and then it'd be fine. And so I thought that was a pretty good method, you know, of weight loss. But after I married, when we first married, I was on birth control pills, and those of you who know about that know that usually it puts some weight on you right away. So right away I gained 10 pounds. Well, you know, that wasn't too bad. And my thinking was, as soon as I go off of it someday, well, then the 10 pounds will go away. Well, it doesn't work that way, in case you know it. And then with each child that I had, and thankfully I only had 2. I had breakfast with a lady this morning who had 7, and she's still standing and walking around. You know, it looks like an intelligent human being. But with each of my children, I'd retain about 3 or 4 or 5 pounds. And then each month, as ladies retain fluid, sometimes, oh, I'd keep a 0.5 pound or 1 pound a month. Well, you know, now you think 1 pound a month, I mean, that is no problem. How would that affect your life? Except if you do that for 10 years, ladies and gentlemen, we've gained 120 pounds. That's some facts. It's hard to live with. And I was involved in the yo-yo syndrome. I mean, you name it, and I've belonged to it. Weight Watchers, Overeaters Anonymous, the spa, the Ladies Health Club, whatever it is, I can assure you I've done it at one time or another in my life. Always trying to look for that outer thing to fix me up. I realized a while back, as I looked around at my father's family, that I was going to wind up looking like them because we have a joke in our family. My sister, who's 2 years younger than I am, she's built like my mother's side of the family, and our family doctor said, well, then Fran must be built like your daddy's side of the family, and he's right, I am. And my aunts are all about 5'2 or 5'3, and in their later years, they all weigh around 250, 300 pounds. And all of my aunts and uncles on my dad's side, except for my dad, had adult-onset diabetes, hadn't have it. One of my uncles died in a diabetic coma. And so I knew that what I was headed for. Can we get that on?
I think the switch has to go on.
Okay, we'll try that. We're warming up.
Probably the
reset. Turn the reset to line. Yeah. Might be a switch. I hope switch is the line. Now turn this on.
Thank you. That will be helpful.
It's too much D. Just turn the reset.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to interrupt right here my train of thought because I forgot to do something that's very important that I wanted to do. I have the special privilege of having that lady in my workshop today who led me to Jesus Christ. And I want you to get to know her because she's really special. She's my spiritual mother in the Lord. She is my sister in Christ. And I'm just thankful that Marquita Strader is here. Marquita in the red. Would you like to stand up and speak, Marquita? But I can honestly say, and I won't go into all the stories I'd love to tell about her and me and us, I can honestly say that what Skip mentioned Sunday night out of Deuteronomy 8:1 is the life of Jerry and Marquita Strader. And they modeled the life for me. They prayed for me. And she taught me about Jesus Christ and His Word. And I am just so grateful for her and that God provided her. She was the channel that He chose to use to bring me to Himself. And it's a real privilege to have her here today. I just have to tell this one little story now. You know, I'm getting older, too, so I get to reminisce a little bit, too, older than I used to be. Joe, it'll come to you. Just hang on. The first time that Marquita asked me to teach her Sunday school class, our Sunday school class, there were my peers in there, she asked me if I would be willing to teach it. You remember this? And she said, and I said, well, I've never done anything like that with adults. I've taught children, but I said, I guess so, if you'll help me. And she said, well, I'll help you. So we got together and we went over the material, and she helped me and gave me some ideas, and we brainstormed together, and I felt pretty good about it. And I said, now, where are you going to be? Where, you know, are y'all going out of town or what? And she said, oh, I'll be in the class. And I said, you'll what? And she said, I'll be in the class. And I said, well, why did you ask me to teach it? She said, well, it's time for you to do that. And I said, no, no, it isn't. I'm not going to teach if you're sitting there. And she said, yes, you are. And I did. So we've come a long way since then, haven't we? Thanks for being here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. How many of you know that? It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I began to realize a couple of 3 years ago that I was not being transformed from the inside out, that I was trying all the outer, temporary, short-term methods, very short-term methods, and nothing was happening. You know, I think I probably even prayed for God to zap me, and nothing happened. And slowly but surely, my weight was going up, and there were increasing problems with that. Now, I know some of you are in here who do not have a weight problem, but you have a health problem. And there were things that accompanied my weight going up. My energy level was going down. I just felt badly a lot of the time. My resistance against disease was not as good as it could be. There were just a lot of things. And, of course, my self-image, as I'll describe, was, you know what my self-image was. The women in here especially know this more than the men, because our self-esteem is so wrapped up in our appearance due to our society and our culture, and there's some good and some bad in that. We'll talk about that, too. But I came to a point where I went up to visit some friends, and I went shopping, tried on some clothes, and so I went to the rack that I normally would wear, and they were a little tight, and I thought, well, you know, it's probably just the, I guess you men have this too, depending on the label, you know, clothes fit differently, so you can't just be one size, you're different sizes, you know, for different labels. So I thought, well, it's, you know, these are probably not quite as good, expensive clothes, so I'll go up to the next size. And I went up to the next size, and they were too tight too, and I went up a couple of more, and by the time I got up to where I was going to be, I didn't want to buy anything. And they have full-length mirrors in those dressing rooms. And one of the problems that I've had all along is that when I put on my makeup, when I get dressed in the morning, I only see from here up, see. So to me, I look pretty good, you know. I mean, from here up, it's not too bad. I didn't see from here down. Everybody else is seeing. But I left there that day, and I really feel like that was the beginning of God dealing with me and literally bringing me to the end of myself. Because as I drove away from that place, I was in tears. And I said for the first time, okay, God, I can't do it. I've tried. I have tried it in my own strength, and I cannot do it. And if it's ever going to be done in my life, you're going to have to be the one to do it. I don't know how. I don't know how, because I've tried these methods that I thought would work. So I don't know the answer, but I'm just asking you that if there's any hope for me to be the kind of person you want me to be in this area, that you're going to have to do it. And so that was the beginning of his doing a work in my life. But the interesting thing is, after I prayed that, again, I'd like to report to you, oh, well, the next day, this friend came along, had the plan. A couple of days later, I was doing all this and everything. I'm a very impatient person, if you haven't already guessed that. It didn't work that way, because I kept right on eating. And I kept right on growing, kept right on struggling. But all the time, my heart was being drawn to there being a change in my life. And one of the things that happened is that I began to take particular interest in the scriptures that had to do with the temple of God. And even in the Old Testament, there's a lot there about the restoration of the temple. And knowing in the New Testament that the Spirit indwells our bodies, I began to think about that. It just seemed like I would go hear a speaker in my quiet time. It would speak to that. And I began to meditate on that, and I began to pray about that. And then I kept hearing about a 2-7 weight control group. And those of you who are familiar with the 2-7 discipleship course, that didn't fit together. One of my friends called and said, oh, so such and such church has a 2-7 weight control group that the navigators have put out. And I said, no, the navigators, I'm sure, are not into weight control. And she said, well, I know it is, you know. And I just kind of shoved it aside because, to be honest, I'd gotten to the point where I really didn't want to fail again. Have you ever failed so many times in any area that you just really do kind of get tired of it and you don't want to fail again and you're afraid to try? Whatever area it is, there are many areas in our lives. But God, in His loving kindness, began to use people to help me find the way. And, of course, the first person that He used and has used for many years is my husband. He's coming tomorrow night, for those of you who don't know him, and he is an exercise fanatic. So if you ask him, you know, is it good weather to jog, just get ready to listen for a while. But he had been praying for me for a number of years that God could work this in me. I don't know if any of you know Dan and Diane Travis here with the Navigators down in Mexico, but Dan went to school with us. He's a year older than I am, went to our junior high and high school. And he and Diane came by one day and spent a couple of days with us, and they're just dear friends of ours. And Diane is nearly this big around. You know, I mean, she is so tiny. And I'm sitting here, you know, envying her appearance. And in her love, we were just sitting at the breakfast table one morning, and we got to talking. I just began to open up my heart because God was really, I was hurting real badly. And I didn't feel like there was anybody I could talk to about it because I felt like I'd already talked to everybody about it. I'd already asked everybody to pray, and I was just really kind of hopeless. And Diane shared with me that she had a weight problem. And I said, now, come on. How could you have a weight problem? She said, no, I really do. And then she began to communicate with me the way that God had led her to allow Him to remove the weight from her and then to keep it off. And just the things she shared with me that day really encouraged me and renewed my hope. And then just through a series of circumstances, some of which I'll share with you during the rest of the principles, I was led to, through my neighbor, through a lady that I spoke with up here at the Glen last year, to join a regular weight control group, which I'll tell you a little more about in a minute. And that was the beginning of this last fall of some hope for me. I was thinking this morning while I was jogging and walking, if anyone had said, how many of you were here at the conference last year? Let me see your hand. Okay, if anyone had said to you, now next year on the program, we're going to have our usual conference, and Skip Gray will be the speaker, and here are the workshop topics, and, you know, Fran Martin's going to be leading a workshop on how to take care of your body. I mean, you would have rolled down the little thing laughing. I mean, I would have rolled down it laughing. I was not in any shape last year to lead a workshop on this. So that is just testimony to the power of God, because He's done it. It's what He's done in a year. And He isn't through with me yet. You gentlemen are probably familiar with this term, WIP. That means work in process. And that's what I am, and that's what you are. That's what we all are. He's not through with me yet, but He's certainly made some giant strides. Wind up how God does use our circumstances to bring us to the point where He wants us. I've had a back problem most of my life, and so I went to a doctor who has really been helpful to me. And after he treated me for a number of months, he said, I was seeing him about once a week, and he said, okay, now if you'll start exercising, I'll release you for a while. You won't have to come see me every week. And I said, okay, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I said, well, how much exercise should I do? Now, I've exercised off and on for years, mostly off, I will admit, but it has been off and on. I've jogged and I've done different kinds of things, always with my husband, you know, prodding me. And but he said, well, he said, if you'll start out walking, you'll start out with half mile or a mile. And I was already doing some exercise then. He said, and get up to 4 miles, do 4 miles an hour. He said, that'll strengthen your abdomen muscles, and which will help your back, help support your back muscles, get some of your weight off. And he said, then I'll try and see you only every 2 or 3 months. So I thought, okay, I'll do that. So I had an outer motivation. Other than just my appearance, I had my health was a factor. So I decided to start doing that, and I did. And about this same time, my daughter was referred to another doctor in this same medical school. And when we first met him, I would have guessed him, because he was a doctor, I knew he had to be you know, you have to be a certain age to be a doctor, but I would have guessed him to be 30, really younger, but I was stretching it with 30. And as we got to know him, I discovered that he's the same age that I am. And I was really mad about that. And as I got to know him, I realized he has a tremendous commitment to exercise and nutrition. And so all of this, as you see, was just coming to a head in my life. God was just fencing me in all around in answer to my prayers of many, many years. And so as we began to interact with him, he provided a model. And I thought, I can be 37 years old and not be ready for the, you know, the junk heap. I mean, it is possible. You can look like he looks and feel like he feels, you know. So just as we interacted, and he was really encouraging too, and just he just provided the model, and again, was a way of giving me hope. And so that's how I have come to the point that would bring me to stand before you today. And I'd like to hand out some sheets to you. We'll look at these as we go along. And this first sheet that I'm giving you has principles that have been helpful to me. We're going to work through these. And I'd like for you to take notes. I purposely, a couple of the gals in the office saw what I was doing. They said, oh, we'd like to have your material. And I was really kind of embarrassed to give it to them because it's just a skeleton, really, as you can see. And that's one reason that we are taping it, because some of what goes in the underneath these principles will be on the tape. But before you do that, did all of you get a little slip of paper like this? Does anyone need one of these? Okay. Okay, you need one. Okay. What I'd like for you to put on that little slip of paper, and this is just between you and God, okay? I won't take them up. I will not read them. You don't need to put your name on them. I've told you how I came to be in Glen Eyrie, how I came to be a member of the kingdom of God, and I've shared with you how I came to be here. And I'd like for you to write down on that little slip of paper why you're here. Okay, we're going to refer to that later. Maybe your spouse said you have to go to that workshop. You know. Or maybe you didn't like all the rest of them. You know, none of them fit you, so you just kind of wound up in here by elimination. Or maybe this workshop, not at Glen Eyrie, this particular workshop on refurbishing God's temple. Or maybe, you know, you heard what a wonderful speaker I was and you flocked in here. I'd really like for you to be honest. No, don't sign them. Won't take them up. But I'd like for everyone to jot down, honestly, why you're in here.
You mean in this
conference? In this room this morning. In this particular workshop this morning. And then when you finish with that, just set it aside, tuck it in the back of your Bible or notebook, and we'll look at it again later. Okay, I'd like for you to use this outline to jot your thoughts down and the things that I'm sharing with you. For two reasons. First of all, you'll have something to refer to if you share this with someone else when you get back home. It will jog your memory. But secondly, it's just a real good idea. If you can hear and see and write, you tend to remember it more. A lot of times in church, I'll take notes on the message or somewhere at a conference, knowing full well when I get home, I'm going to throw the notes away. Are you shocked at that? I know I'm supposed to stick them in this file and be ready to pull them out, you know, in a few years, but I don't do that. Thank you. But it's just the idea of writing, of using your motor skills with your other skills that will help you retain it. So you write some things down, please, in the blanks. All right, I call this five essentials for a new you. I'm not sure they're all inclusive. So if you have one to add at the end, please let us know and share that with us. But I began there with prayer. And that's what I've already shared with you. You know, in prayer, by that I mean just really a crying out to God, just a communicating with our Father about our needs, where we are, how we feel, the hurts. It's a blessing to me to know that as a child of God, when I'm misunderstood by other people, that God always understands me and loves me. And so I just would encourage you, if this is a need in your life, a valid need, what we're talking about today, that you would begin by talking to your Heavenly Father about it. If you want to turn to Psalm 37:4, it's a verse that God gave me about 10 or 11 years ago now. He gave it to me in relation to another area I was struggling with. But as Skip said last night, once he gives you a promise, it's good from then on, you know. So I've used this for many things in my life. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And because I did have someone who walked beside me for a number of years and showed me how to do that, I didn't know when I began the Christian life how to delight myself in the Lord. And God used her to show me how to do that day in and day out, to teach me to model and pray that I'd do that. And as I began to delight myself also in the Lord, one of the desires of my heart was that I would be a better vessel for his use. And so as I began to pray and talk to him about that, he began to answer. And initially, I didn't think he was. I want to share with you at this point some of my readings in Scripture and some of my prayers that I've prayed to God. And I list them as quiet time highlights. I went back about a year and a half and picked out the things that God had said to me that I'd said back to him in prayer. And I hope some of the verses in particular, I know you're probably not as interested in my prayer as you are in the verses that I've, the passages that he's revealed to me. There are five pages, these. If you get confused, they're all numbered. Pages 1 through 5. I have a quiet time notebook at home that goes back about 5 or 6 years, and there were several in there that I want to share with you, but I left it at home. If you are in the habit of recording what God says to you and what you say back to him, it is so fun to go back and see what you've talked about. It was a real blessing to me to do that. And you begin to see a pattern, and you begin to see some answered prayers, some things you'd even forgotten that you prayed, some things that you're amazed that he answered in the way he did. John 15:7 is on the there under prayer. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you." And as you can see from these sheets, all along, even as I was struggling, God's word was abiding in me, and I was abiding in him, trying to, daily. And so unknown to me, I was asking, and for a long while, I just didn't think he was answering. I just didn't see it. You know, the pounds were not miraculously falling off, and I meant this big burst of energy. But he was answering me, unknown to me. And then John 16:24 says, "Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And I don't know of anything more joyful than answered prayer, than specific, tangible answered prayer, where you've asked for something and you know that it's come from him. I don't know of anything that gives us more joy. Let me point out a couple of things on the quiet time highlight sheets that I've handed to you that you'll find interesting and amusing. First of all, I read through a different translation of the Bible each year. So the initials out to the left at the end, you'll see they refer to either the Jerusalem Bible, which I was reading that year, or to Weiss' expanded version. And this year I'm reading in something called LAMSA. You may not have ever heard of that. I've done this for several years, so you get down to strange translations when you do that. And this is a translation by George LAMSA, who was brought up in the in the Bible lands. And he has a little bit of interesting slant on it. That's what those terms out to the left mean. And if you'll see, let's see, there are a couple of them I wanted to point out to you. One of the funny things is I got down to the end yesterday when I was working on this. Look on page 4. You'll see where I've been coming from. Some of the months, I maybe prayed this prayer, you know, one time. God was helping me and was working in me, etc. But if you'll look starting 7-13-82, there's July 13th, July 15th, July 16th, July 18th, July 20th, and July 21st. Now, I'm getting ready to come up here and share all this information with you, and boy, I was struggling. There was, what, 6 or 7 days on my quiet times that had to do with focusing on me and, you know, how I was handling this. And I was really struggling. Also, as you glance at my prayers, you'll see a lot of times they end with help me. I mean, that's all I know to say. It's just help me, Lord. Help me to do this. Let me see if I can point out the couple that had to do in particular with the temple. Yes, look at the one dated June 24th, 81, 6-24-81. That's at the top of page 2. It says, subsequently, Joash made up his mind to repair the temple of Yahweh. The masters of works having once made a start, the repairs went ahead under their supervision. They rebuilt the temple of God to its former state and strengthened its fabric. Don't you love that? I want my fabric to be strengthened through proper diet and exercise. And I just prayed there, Father, I've made up my mind to repair your temple, my body. Now, this was last summer, early last summer. This was before I knew that there was a Christian weight loss group that was the tool God used in my life. There was a friend who was trying to help me at that time. And so I said, now that I've made a start, I pray that the repairs will go ahead under yours and this friend's supervision. Help me rebuild it and strengthen it. And as I typed yesterday, I was amazed how many times I had prayed that God would strengthen. I've asked for strength several times. You know, he has given that to me. Because prior to last summer, I peaked about noon, my energy level, no matter what time I got up or went to bed or what I did. By noon, that was it for me, for anything major activity. And I just drug through the kids coming in and drug through supper. And today, I can tell you that I wake up now about 5:30 or 6. And if it's midnight when we hit the bed, I'm tired. But I have a right to be tired if I've been going 18 or 19 hours. And usually I'm a napper. I catch about a 10 or 15 minute nap no matter what I do. But God has really given me a strength that I did not have through what he's done in my life. And then look on the page before page 1 at the bottom on June 22nd. Physical exercises are useful enough, but the usefulness of spirituality is unlimited since it holds out the reward of life here and now and of the future life as well. 1 Timothy 4:8-9. And you see what I prayed? I mean, I'm talking about getting down to the real stuff with God. Father, help me to give a place in my schedule to regular physical exercise. I didn't have it, and just to be honest, I really didn't want it very much. But I began to realize it was important. I said, please work in my inner man to help me realize that physical exercise is useful to make me a better servant for you. And then the last one over that I'll mention right now, and you can use these. You may want to go home and throw them away, and that's fine. I was just using them to encourage you. September 25th, 81, which is the top of page 3. The temple is restored. This is out of Ezra 2 and 3. I read Ezra 2 and 3 and drew these principles out of it, so it's not in one specific verse. The temple is restored in an orderly fashion and rebuilt by God's people so they can better worship him. See back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. They didn't, get this one now, this was me. They didn't begrudge the time spent doing this. Oh, that's where I was walking right then. I didn't want to give time to learning about this. I did not want to give time to exercise. But I knew God was really beginning to say, it's essential. So I just said, help me, Lord, to look forward to the time needed to be spent rebuilding my temple, my body. See why I prayed? Give me an orderly plan to do this. And empower me to carry it out. So it's amazing as I went back and looked over the things I had asked of him and said to him how faithful he'd been to answer. So, you know, these are my quiet time highlights. Now, You can't use mine. You have to go get your own. I'm going to read that for the tape's sake. It says, do you not know, Paul's writing to the people of Corinth, who, by the way, as I understand it, were very undisciplined people. The people of Corinth lacked self-control in many areas, so I can identify with them. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it, and it refers to the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. Paul had a plan, see. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. If you don't see me pommeling my body this week and subduing it, you get on me, okay? Had a piece of cake last night. I think that was a downfall. I'm trying not to do that this week. But Paul had a plan, and I would encourage you to ask God to give you a plan. My husband, in trying to be helpful all these years, he just loves jogging so much. You know, his answer to my need was, you just need to jog 10 miles. If you just get out there and hit that pavement and jog 10 miles, you could eat all you wanted to. Well, I don't know, somehow that didn't do a whole lot for me. That just, you know, it didn't motivate me. I mean, it's kind of like Bob Stevens was saying yesterday morning, you don't take a brand new Christian. The first thing you do with a brand new Christian is not show them how to spend a whole day in prayer, is it? You know, we don't give our babies steak and potatoes when they're born. We give them a little bit. And that's what I kept looking for, was something that I could handle, that was tangible, that I could begin here and then go to here. And so God, again, his faithfulness, did that. And he did that through several methods. I've already mentioned the doctor who motivated me to begin walking. And so I began doing that. One of my problems, one of my several problems, particularly in the area of exercise, has been that I would get started, but then things would interfere, the weather or, you know, or whatever. I mean, if it looked like it was going to rain, that would interfere. Or if it looked like it wasn't going to rain, that would interfere. Or if I slept late, it interfered. And if I got up early, well, you know, so on. But really, there were seriously some things that I would start out doing, but something would come along that would mess up, and then I'd wipe out, wouldn't persevere, wouldn't continue. So I began to pray that I could have a plan that would fit my lifestyle. Let me encourage you to find and look for a plan that will fit your lifestyle. And, you know, I see it almost like our spiritual gifts. I think Skip made a good point. We don't discover our spiritual gifts by going to a seminar and sitting and taking any information. That's good. But we discover them by using, by being used of God in the body of Christ. And as we do that, then we discover, and probably many of us in this room have been involved in some things, and we found out after we got into it that it wasn't for us, right? I mean, Sam may work beautifully with junior high children, but that is not where God has called me to work, you know. And sometimes I have to work with them to find out this ain't the place, you know, and go somewhere else. So sometimes that's true with our plan for exercise, too. So let me encourage you to experiment, to try some things. And if you don't like them, it's okay to try something else. Always looking for the method that will best fit your lifestyle. So I began to walk. And by the way, I'm not a doctor. One of my doctors that I was talking with about this before I came, he wanted to know who was in charge of this thing. And I said, well, you know, this is Christian organization. He said, well, no, I mean, who's going to be there? And I knew he didn't know Bob Stevens. And I said, well, it's the navigators are going to oversee. He said, no, what I mean is there's going to be a doctor there. I think he was afraid I was going to give you wrong information. But I'm not an expert on the field, but there are people who are, and we can learn from them. But as I began to walk, I began to get a desire to be disciplined in my lifestyle. And along about that time, a little thing came along that I'm going to encourage you to investigate. I'm not up here to promote any one plan of exercise or one plan of eating, okay? I'll share with you the things that have been meaningful to me for you to go try, but they may not work for you. But I do feel like that one of the best exercises overall is walking, no matter what our age or health. You can usually do that safely, and if you are probably over 35 or 40 and have any kind of a health problem, please do check in with your doctor before you start anything strenuous. And if you're fortunate enough to have a doctor who's interested in exercise, you're fortunate indeed. If you can find a doctor who is committed to exercise as we have. You're very fortunate. And if you can find one who's committed to nutrition and exercise, you found a gold mine, and they're rare. And we are fortunate enough to have that. But I encourage you to do that, if at all possible. But do check with him if you're going to do anything strenuous. But walking is just a good overall. You can do it nearly any time. Now, if there's, I don't think we have anyone here this week from the north. I don't know how north Colorado is. But the weather would be the only thing that would keep you from that. My mother-in-law is in her late 60s, and she became convinced several years ago, due to putting on a few extra pounds and her blood pressure especially rising, that she needed to find some form of exercise. And so she began to walk, and she had a couple of falls. She was walking outside and injured herself, and so we decided we didn't want her doing that anymore. And they have a group where she lives in Denton. I can't remember what they call it, but they meet from 6 to 7 a.m. in the gymnasium at the university. And they have doctors out there who take their, who weigh them, take their blood pressure, and they just have hundreds of particularly retired people who are doing this. And yes, it's just a marvelous program. And, you know, they have 80-year-olds and 70-year-olds and 50-year-olds. And a lot of people go by on their way to work, and they either jog and walk or just walk. And she's walking 4 miles a day now. She's lost about 10 pounds, and she probably has lost 10 miles. And her blood pressure, she was on 3 or 4 different kinds of blood pressure medication. She's down to 1 now, 1 tablet a day, and her blood pressure is normal or below. She's really encouraged. And she would tell you, she looks like she's in her, what, 50, Marquita, if that, and can work circles around Marquita and me and everybody else we know, and just feels wonderful. And she attributes it to a change in her diet and in her exercise. It's never too late to begin. Okay, never. Not in the Christian life, not regarding our health, not anything. As long as we're still walking around, you know, it's never too late to begin. But as I began to walk, I heard about a method of exercise that kind of intrigued me. And along about this same time, too, I told Bob, I said, what I need is something I can do inside when the weather's bad, when it's really cold, because at this point I wasn't committed enough. I know there are joggers who go out no matter what the weather, and I'm married to one of them, but I'm not there yet. So I said, I need something so that when it's raining or when it's cold, that I'll continue exercising, so when the sun shines again, I will not have this break in my exercise program. So he said, okay, this is your last chance. I'm going to go buy you an extra bicycle, and if you don't use this, that's it. I wash my hands of you, you know. So we went down and bought the Exercycle from Sears, and I began using it, and it was all right, but I was still walking at this time because the weather was pretty. But I heard about a little thing called a rebounder or a mini tram, and, you know, I personally am just as sold on them as I can be, and let me tell you why. The reason is it gave me what I needed in my exercise program. It's the same thing I need in my Christian life, for my quiet time, my scripture memory, or anything. It gave me consistency. This is something that you can do anytime, anywhere, any time of the day or night. If I get up and get busy and the day hits, at 10 o'clock at night, you'll find me jumping on this, watching the news. Okay? You can put it in front of your TV. You can do it in air conditioning. It's just wonderful. And I'm really sold on it. This little book is on your resource list, which you'll get in a minute, The Miracles of Rebound Exercise. And he does give you the principles that are involved in it. If you'd like to jog, and as we get older, the jars our spine and our feet. You have shin splints and things like this. There is no jarring with the rebounder because you're not jarring your skeletal system. So it just does all kinds of things for you. So, and they're relatively inexpensive. I would encourage you to, if you have a friend who has one, borrow it for a week or two and see if you're going to like it. But I just love it because it does give me something that I can do any time, day or night, and every day. And I don't know brand names, but I do know that if you purchase one, what you need to do is stand on the edge, right out here on the edge of the mini tram, and it's not supposed to tip over. If it tips over, it's not a good one. Okay, I can stand on the edge of mine with all my weight, and it stays stationary. And also it needs to be where it will pull you to the center. And for those of us who are older, who are getting older, we're not quite as stable anymore, there is a bar that they make that goes over it so you can, like, hang on to it because some of the people I know who are older are a little fearful about falling off of it and losing their. So you can buy that.
Are you saying that if you, like, stepped on the edge of it, it wouldn't hurt?
It would not tip. It stays stationary. That's correct. That's the kind you want, whatever brand you have. And I'm not, it's the same.
There are some heart doctors that are recommending these. You can just walk on these.
Yes. Also, he has pictures in here of wheelchair patients who are put on it, and then someone bounces them, quadriplegics, and it does restore a lot of the tone, some of the tone to their muscles and give them health. He has a chart in here. You start out very slowly, and you work up. And I use that chart. And then I did add to that. What I'm doing right now is I use this 30 minutes a day, twice a day, in addition to my other exercise. Now, that's because I happen to have the slowest metabolism in the world, I've decided. You may not need to do it that much. As a matter of fact, the man from whom I bought it, when I went and bought it last Christmas, he was it was at a sports center, and he said, oh, you'll really enjoy that. He said, my wife uses that every day. And he says, we have two small babies, and she can't get out, and this is all the exercise she does. And he said, she's the size she was when I married her in high school. And I said, oh, boy, sounds good. Well, after 2 or 3 months, I wasn't all that much smaller, and I thought I ought to be. I mean, 2 or 3 months of consistent exercise, that ought to do something to anybody, you know. As you can see, my perseverance level is not real high. I went back to see him recently. I had to exchange something, and I said, you were telling me that your wife jumps on this, and this is all she does. And I said, how long does she jump? He said, well, she jumps twice a day. And I said, yeah, I do too. I said, how long does she jump? He said, oh, 5 or 10 minutes each time. I said, oh, and that's all she does. And he said, yes. So God made us differently, and we have to learn to know our bodies. And this is where I'm struggling right now. And I'll share some more of that with you in a minute on some facts. So get you an exercise plan. Another thing that I do is that, well, I'll put that under the next point. I'll wait a minute on that. The other plan that God gave me was regarding my nutrition. And as I told you, I'd done everything. I mean, counted calories, gotten shots, diet pills. I mean, you name it, I'd done it. And God provided through several friends, the mention is 2-7 weight loss group, you know. Actually, what they were talking about was a program called 3Ds, which stands for diet, discipline, and discipleship. And I'd heard about it, and there again, I wasn't sure I wanted to commit to it because I was afraid I'd commit and fail and have to go through all that. But as I investigated and found out a little bit more about it, it sounded like what could be helpful for me. And basically what they work on is helping you with your diet, with all the disciplines of your life, and with the discipleship, which is following Jesus Christ. It includes the Bible study on some of the things we struggle with. It includes the scripture that you memorize weekly. The plan includes you step on the scales each week and you say your verse to your leader. You are asked to commit. You sign a covenant to do this. You're asked to commit to pray for the members in your group each day, hopefully at the same time each day, with whatever they're struggling with. You are asked to read a chapter in the Old Testament and a chapter in the New Testament each day and write that down. Then you use a 1,200 calorie a day eating plan for the women, and I think it's 1,500 for the men. I believe that's correct. Well, my first thought was I have never been able to lose weight on 1,200 calories, never. So scratch that. Well, the leader had heard that before, and she said, well, just try it. And, you know, I discovered that I was right. I couldn't lose weight on 1,200 calories a day if I stayed on that for 2 or 3 weeks, which is about the length of anything I chose to do. But, you know, amazingly, when I committed to do that until I was the size God wanted me to be, like for months I'm talking about, I lost weight. So it is possible to lose weight on 1,200 calories combined with exercise. And I believe for most of us, particularly as we get older, that we cannot lose weight by diet alone. We can lose weight, but we will not keep it off. I'll put it that way. The only way that I know to be the kind of temple God wants us to be, I'm sorry to say, is to have a complete change in our lifestyle. And that's what I was struggling with. And I had dieted, but the idea of a diet, you know, you diet, and then what do? Well, you're through your diet, you go off, and you go back to eating like you've always eaten. Go back to living like you've always lived. And what happens? My husband has a lady who offices next to him, and I know you've heard hundreds of these stories, so I won't bore you with more than one. She lost 150 pounds through Weight Watchers. She's gained every bit of that back and more. Now, that is painful. That is painful. I hurt for those of us like that. You know, those of us who've literally gained lost possibly 1,000 pounds in our lifetime because we've lost it and gained it, which, by the way, is very hard on your health. So I committed to 3Ds. Now, I do want to say this. I told you I'm not plugging a program. I really do believe. I had a friend in our home recently who was there about 4 days, and she's lost about 35 pounds to about the same amount I've lost. She's done it by another method entirely. So I'm not here to plug a method. Some of us can do it through Weight Watchers and some of us through whatever. But I do feel from my own experience that whatever you find that fits with your lifestyle, stick with it. Just commit to stick with it. And the thing I do like about the plan that 3D uses is called, and I left my book at home. I'll have it with me tomorrow if you want to look at it. They use a little black book, a little pamphlet that you can get from your doctor or from a hospital. It's called the American Dietetic Association Exchange Plan Diet. And it is very, very good, very easy, very nutritious. It's a plan that you can live with. I can live with the rest of my life. We can come to Glen Eyrie and sit down at these tables, and what you do is you just pick and choose. You just don't eat everything that's laid out in front of you. And basically, you eat by food groups. You have a certain amount of bread each meal, certain amount of meat, certain amount of fruit, certain amount of vegetables, certain amount of oil, and certain amount of milk. 6 food groups, and you know how much of each according to how many calories. So you can go to breakfast over here, like I did this morning. I got the English muffin, egg and ham. I didn't get the hash browns. I could have the English muffin or the hash browns, but not both, and I knew that. See, so I had my juice, had my milk, and I can live with that the rest of my life. I can go out to people's homes. You know, before God really dealt with me on this, we just come to the point where Bob finally even said, he said, well, I think you're just going to have to give up and be heavy the rest of your life because our lifestyle won't allow you. We entertain so much, have people in our homes so much, and I love to cook for them so much. We're asked out, and we come to conferences and speak. Well, that was hard to take, that I was going to have to give up on me. I didn't like that. But I sure wasn't having much success. So through this plan, it is a plan that you can live with the rest of your life. And there also is a book, which is on your resource list, that uses the same plan, a little bit more creatively, called Eat and Stay Slim. And you can buy that at Target or any bookstore. It uses the same plan. It's the Exchange Plan Diet. Now, let me just make this passing comment about 3Ds. At the end of our time of using 3Ds, we switched to another plan for several reasons. The cost increased enormously in 3Ds, and there were some other biblical and authority questions about the program of 3Ds. So I personally would not recommend that. There is a program, and I have this little brochure if you'd like to look at it, out of Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, entitled New Creation Ministries, which is basically the same thing. I think they're a little better. They actually have in their study booklet the quiet time sheets, like we use the Bible reading highlights records, and they encourage you to write down your quiet time. The people who started New Creation Ministries are out of Navigator background. And so if you would be interested in looking at this and starting a group, you're welcome to pick this up, and their address is on the back here. Another in line with the plan is this book entitled Free to Be Thin, and I highly recommend this. And her plan basically in here, this is a Christian book, her plan in here is basically the American Dietetic Association Exchange Plan Diet. So it's just the right way to eat. And for those of you like me who've, you know, I've read every book that's put out. I mean, this one is going to be the magic key. I've read them all. And basically, they all say the same thing when you get right down to it. I have yet to read one that encourages you to eat large intakes of sugar and salt and white flour. I haven't found one. Oh, okay. Well, now that may be. Okay.
Real healthy.
Yeah, real healthy. A little fattish. But most of them, you know, they may disagree on the detail, on the finer points, but most of anything that you read by nutritionists, you know that that's not to be a major part of your diet. But this is a real motivational book, and I do recommend it to you. This is what my mother-in-law read and just began doing this.
Who is that by?
Marie, C-H-A-P-I-A-N. It's on a sheet I'm going to give you in just a minute, so you don't need to write that down, but you can glance at that. Okay, let's move on then to the third part, because I don't have much time left, which is the idea of a partner. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 is a special, has some special verses in it, if I can find Ecclesiastes. I think it's in the Old Testament rather than the New, right? Right after Proverbs. And it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they are warm. But how can one be warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need each other. That's what that means. And we do better when we have someone to come alongside us and help us. And I know you found that to be true in many areas in your life. God designed it so that we would need each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." I need somebody there saying, "Hey, why are you eating that? Is that good for you?" And in my case, the partner, the idea of partnership and the plan kind of went together. I wound up with a support group through the 3D program. They were also my partners. But I also need a partner in exercise, I decided. Jumping on the tram alone was good, and I had people encouraging me, and the doctor checking up on me occasionally, and my husband, you know, saying, "Have you done it today," et cetera. But I needed somebody to be with me. So in the spring, I joined an aerobics class, and I just highly recommend that for us women. They're fun, and you've got somebody to work alongside of you. Now, I did that in addition to the trampoline, the daily trampoline, because at that point in time, as you'll see in a minute on a graph I give you, I had lost a lot of weight, and I had kind of plateaued out. And so I was trying to accomplish something in a little bit shorter period of time, because this Saturday I go to my high school reunion. So I had a real nice outer motivation. But I did go ahead and join up with the aerobics class, and that was somebody to come alongside me, encourage me. And then this summer, just for fun, and this is what I'm talking about, just try some different things, you know. They had some different things at our recreation center, and so I signed up for water exercises and a co-ed weight training class. And that's, we're using the universal gym, and I do the bench press and the toe thrust and the chinning, except women can't do chinning, in case you didn't know that, and the whole bit with the weights. And I enjoyed those, but I found out that they're really not my thing. I'm going to go back to aerobics probably in the fall. There's also, from the National Institute of Reboundology, and I don't have that, it is in this book, excuse me, the address is in this book. There's a set of weights that you can use with your tram, and you put the weights on your wrists, on your ankles, and then you jump. And because one of the things that happens as we get older is that, you know, we lose weight, but we're flabby, and I don't want to be flabby. So one of my objectives has been to tone up the muscles and tighten up in here, you know, and all in here and in here, tighten up the flab. So that's one thing I hope I'm going to order and do, and just add that to my trampoline routine. So as you can see, one of the things that happens when you begin doing this is you do get hooked on it. And I mean, those of you who know me know that I am not an exerciser. I mean, my favorite form of recreation, the most active form of recreation for me, is reading, and has been all my life. So I am not, do not stand before you as, you know, the athlete of the year. But when we get to the benefits, you'll see why I am so sold on this. But let me encourage you, if you can't get in a group, in a support group, get a friend or a neighbor or a buddy if you need this, okay? Then number four is the one at which, you know, I rank about zero on. It's perseverance. And this is so critical. Let me look at Philippians 3:12-16. I have laughingly said, but it's the truth, that I can do anything for a couple of weeks, no matter what it is, no matter how hard it is. But that's about my endurance length, really, for a couple of weeks. Philippians 3:12-16, let me just read this. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then only let us hold true to what we have attained. That has been the hardest thing for me. Just, you don't know how many times I've wanted to stop. I just, you know, I wasn't doing it as fast as I wanted to. I wasn't doing it the way I wanted to, or whatever. And I've had to learn that anything, you know, I didn't get in this shape in 6 months to a year, and I will not get out of it in 6 months to a year. I have got to stay with it, and it comes back down to commitment. And is this going to be a way of life for me from now on? I know many of us have struggled with, am I really going to spend time in God's Word daily the rest of my life? Am I going to memorize Scripture the rest of my life? I mean, that's a long time. And, you know, while I'm at the Glen, yeah, maybe. But I don't know about when I get home, just to be honest. And so I was feeling real sorry for myself the other day because in a minute when you get my graph, you'll see it's been going like this for a long time. And, oh, I just had the worst body in the world, and it wasn't fair the way God made me. And I was just really in the pits. And God gave me these verses in my quiet time that day, Hebrews 10:35-36. He says, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised." See, I'm committed to do this, not so much so that I'd weigh, you know, X number of pounds, but I'm committed to do this because I believe it's the will of God for my life. I believe that He wants us to be the best vessel, the best dwelling place of the temple of God that we can be. And that's my commitment. And, you know, my doctor says, you know, when I come in down, he says, keep moving. I say, I'm going to keep moving. If nothing else ever happens, if next year you come back, I look exactly like this, no pounds off. I'm committed to keep moving, to keep exercising, to keep eating properly, because I believe that is the will of God for my life. And so that really helps in the perseverance. That combined with the Word of God. And last, and certainly not least, is the idea of power. And I have several scriptures down there. I'm not going to look at all of them. I think I want to look at the Colossians 1:29. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." It is the power of God at work in us that does this. Colossians 1:29 says, "For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me." Okay, and this is a two-way street. And Philippians 2:12-13 says basically the same thing. It is not just God zapping me with weight coming off or with feeling good. It is a combination of my effort combined with his power at work within me. And it takes both. We do not become a Christian and set this book on the shelf and just expect him to invade our mind with no effort on my part. I have to do something. But it's when I do that, when I commit to do that, it is his power at work within me that enables me to keep on keeping on and to do it. So it's a combination of both. I should not expect God to do what he wants me to do. I should not expect to be done in me what only he can do. I am responsible before him to eat properly and to exercise as he's shown to me. He is responsible to give me the energy, the health, the vitality that I need. I can't do that. I mean, I have really tried. If it could be done, it would be done. I cannot shave these pounds off anymore. But I can continue to eat properly and continue to exercise my body and trust him to make me be what he wants me to be. Okay, any questions or thoughts on those five principles before we move on? Uh-huh.
The Bible, I believe, I know, I'm sure, speaks of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a religious book. I have read it. I must be at home now. That it speaks of fasting, and back in the Middle Ages and back in the days before doctors got quite as sophisticated as they are today, it was a standard medical practice to fast and recommend fasting for certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many of these conditions that you mentioned this morning that fasting would not have been a step toward getting started, if not.
Yes, that's a good question regarding fasting. I think that's a real possibility. Let me just make a couple of comments on that. You can fast for spiritual purposes and you can fast for physical purposes, and sometimes for both. I think if you're going to approach fasting from a physical purpose, that you would definitely need to check with your physician. I have fasted. My husband and I fasted. We fasted for 5 days to do food testing for allergies. Some of the rest of you in this room have done so, but it was under a doctor's guidance and control. We fasted for long days for spiritual purposes and just for cleansing of the body. We fasted for spiritual purposes and answered a prayer and have had God answer some mighty prayers. So I am an advocate of it. I do feel that you need to be careful in fasting regarding what I'm talking about today, because what I'm talking about today is a change in our lifestyle that we can live with the rest of our life. So I would not advocate that to shake 5 pounds off or 10 pounds off that you would necessarily go on water fast or juice fast. But I think he has a good point, and I would encourage you. I'm trying to think of the name of the book that you're talking about.
There's
someone help me.
Title, Just Fasting.
Yes, but there's another one, and I'm a blank on it right now. That's a spiritual book. If you're interested in that,
Help Lord, the devil wants.
Is that one?
I think that's one.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one. I thought I'd read them all, but I missed that one. So, but you might investigate that biblically, and then talk to your physician if you're interested in that. And then there are some books out. So thank you for bringing that up. Look down at the bottom. This is for fun. See, this is going to be a ladies' group, and we were going to have fun. And this is your little recipe card for good health. And you may cut it out and put it in your recipe box or put it on your refrigerator or stick it in your kitchen sink. And, you know, I won't go over a lot of it, just you need 2 cups of conviction, and it's got to be personal. I had lost some pounds, and I was sharing with this doctor friend that several people had been kind enough to comment that they noticed that, and that that was really encouraging to me. And he asked the question, he said, well, were those people significant in your life? And I thought, And then he kind of laughed. He was kidding me a little. But I thought about that for a long time. Who is significant in your life? Who are you really trying to please? I'm a people pleaser, so I'd love to please all of you, and you all just think I'm wonderful and all that, and God's teaching me, you know, that's not important. But I really thought about who is significant, and when I got right down to the rock bottom, it's really between God and me. Even if I'm doing it for my family, and I know some of you men are interested in it to prolong your life, I really liked what I believe it was Bob Stevens said Monday morning. Many people start out jogging to prolong their life, to increase the quantity of their life. And they find that the byproduct is that they have increased the quality of their life. And I think that's true. So I'd encourage you to figure out, to check out, who are you trying to please? It has to come from within you. Stir in a stick of learning. Melt it real good. There is so much on the market. I've just mentioned, you know, 5 books. You can find out about health and exercise and nutrition. You can go into any bookstore. You ask your doctor. Every time I go to our doctors, I have about 10 questions that I ask them about. Well, what vitamins are we taking? What are this? What are you doing? What's your program? I just ask them, you know, to get that information. Don't do it all, but I find out. You can overlearn here. Just get it from somewhere. Then you've got to have lots of motivation, inner and outer. God provided me with some outer. The inner came primarily through the Word of God. That's really where it came from. I'd really encourage you to be motivated. Because remember, and this is really important, if you get the oven too hot, everything burns and it doesn't taste good. And discipline without desire definitely leads to drudgery, and in my case, it leads to defeat. I'll hit that pavement or hit that tram for a while to please someone else. But if I don't have that inner desire, I can tell you right now, I'm going to be defeated. Okay, so that was kind of for fun. And then let me give you 2 more sheets, and then we'll be through.
I have a friend who's been doing Michigan, you know, even though she's doing it, her husband's a runner. And so she's been trying, how can I encourage her? She's really frustrated. I mean, she's not frustrated. She's a strong, godly woman, and she lives in Denton. She's in a real kind of a plateau. She kind of saved in Georgia.
Well, I think some of the things I've said this morning, there's one other thing I'm going to say that will be helpful to her. She's not losing her weight. Is that her problem?
She's lost her weight. No, she just wants to lose her.
Yeah, okay. Well, I identify with that. 2 or 3 things that have been particularly, practical things that have been particularly helpful to me is to keep some data. When we went to 3D's, they had a little 3x5 card, and each week we would get on the scale and we would weigh, and they would record our weight, and then they would put plus or minus, so you could see each week. Well, early on, someone suggested that we make a graph. And so this is my graph. And if that won't encourage you, I don't know what will. And see, some days you go in, you've gained 1/4 pound, or you've gained 1/2. But when you look at it, see, this gave me perseverance. Because look at this. It's all downhill, folks. And I didn't always feel downhill, you know. I said I would feel fat, or I would retain fluid, or whatever. So this is one way. Another objective way to do that is, of course, besides the scale, so you're on the scales every morning or once a week, is to record the inches lost, and that's on this sheet right here, and I just did that for your information. One of the things on my graph, you can see I've plateaued out, and this is where I'm struggling right now. So this is why that perseverance has got to be in there. But I didn't measure me with a tape measure until April, and I started this in September. So I know there's a whole bunch more inches lost that I didn't record, so do that. Because a lot of times the scale is staying the same, but particularly if you're exercising, the inches are going down, and that's your body shifting and making way. Another real good motivation is the clothes that you wear. When you get to give away some clothes, boy, there is no greater feeling. The only greater feeling than giving away clothes is to go to that rack, like I did several years ago, and try on that size that you think, and it falls off of you. And then you go down to the next size, and I've done this recently, and it falls off of you, and you go down to the next size, and it is still too big. And there is no greater feeling. I mean, for me, when I look in the mirror, I'm going to be honest with you, I still see the same me that I was a year ago. I don't care what you say to me or what I try. I'm still the same person. I don't feel any thinner yet. Maybe it's taking me a while to feel thin. It's coming, you know, when I try on the mediums and I need smalls. It's just great. So that's an out, you know, that's a measurement that I really encourage you to have. And real quickly, now I'm going to share with you a couple of some facts that will be helpful to you, and then we will stop. This is regarding exercise and calories and pounds. Aerobic exercise is what I'm talking about here. An aerobic exercise is the kind of exercise that raises your heartbeat and keeps that heart rate up for a sustained period of time. And most doctors that I've talked with, and I do recommend this book, Aerobics for Women by Mildred and Kenneth Cooper, and there's an Aerobics for Men book that's excellent. This came out for women. But they do recommend probably that your exercise needs to be 30 minutes sustained exercise or longer before you get the full cardiovascular benefits. You get the full cleansing of your cells, the oxygen to your blood and brain and all that over. You know, this is weeks and months we're talking about, okay? So that's an aerobic exercise. There are other exercises like the ones I mentioned to strengthen and tone up your muscles and those kinds of things. But when we're talking about exercise that will help your heart and your lungs, and will what happens when you go on a diet? This is what I didn't know. Go on a diet, and say you've been eating 2,000 calories a day. At Glen Eyrie, it's a whole lot more than that, but say 2,000 calories a day, okay? So you're going to go on a diet, and you're going to cut down to 1,000, okay? So you subtract 1,000 calories from your bodily intake. All right, now, 3,500 calories equal 1 pound. So you say, oh, okay, I take off 1,000 calories a day. How many days will it take me to drop a pound on the scales? 3.5 days, right? So at the end of a week, every week, I should lose 2 pounds, right? Wrong. Doesn't work that way. When you decrease your fuel, you lower your metabolism rate. If you don't exercise, this is what I never knew. So you can go on all those diets you want to. When you decrease the intake of your fuel and do not up your exercise level, you are lowering your metabolism. Everything that you do is using your fuel less efficiently, and you don't lose weight as fast. When you add to this 1,000 calories, the calories that you lose in exercising, say 500 a day, not only are you losing 500 calories more, but you're increasing the ability of your body to metabolize what you're doing. And everything that you do, whether you're sitting, whether you're standing speaking before a group, whether you're doing the laundry, whether you're working at your desk, is utilizing the fuel that you have more efficiently and faster. I didn't know that. And so here I was dieting all this time and keeping my weight on. Okay, now let's look at this. So it takes 3,500 calories to lose a pound. I want to lose 15 more pounds. Okay, that's my goal. And I'm thinking, well, boy, I ought to be able to do that soon. I'm exercising vigorously 2 hours a day. Now, if I exercise vigorously, active exercise, 1 hour a day, I lose 2 calories per pound of body weight. And I'm at this weight right now. So I'm losing 260 calories. This is an hour of exercise, ladies and gentlemen, of active exercise. Now, if you're, where is jogging? If you're running, they're calling it running, you're losing nearly 4 calories an hour. I don't like to run very much, so, but this is you. Okay, so say I'm losing 520 calories an hour. Now, what I used to do up here is I'd come up here and I'd walk and run a mile. And then I'd go over to Baskin Robbins. I mean, I figured I'd lost so many calories. You know, I could do that safely. If you're running an hour, it's not 30 minutes, it's an hour, you're only losing 520 calories a day. Let's round it off to 500 and say if whatever your body weight is, it takes approximately 10 calories to sustain that. In other words, if I weigh this, if I eat this many calories a day and don't exercise, supposedly I should be the weight I am the rest of my life, okay? So if I reduce this by 500 calories a day, and I reduce it with exercise by another 500, it's going to take me 3.5 days to lose a pound. Okay, now the problem comes in that say I lose 5 pounds, then this is all the calories that I need to maintain, and I'm reducing it by 800 and reducing it by 500. And so I'm going to lose slower as they go down. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I put the pencils to this today, I was so discouraged. I realized that I've got to stick with 800 calories a day for me right now, and I've got to vigorously exercise for 2 hours. This is my body, okay? And it will take me 4 months to lose 15 pounds. Now, recently there was an article in Dear Abby. A lady wrote and said, I need to lose 20 or 30 pounds. What should I do? She said, well, with diet, you know, with a simple diet, whatever, grapefruit diet, Beverly Hills, you should be able to lose that easily in 2 or 3 weeks. This is our mindset, you see, and this is why we're discouraged. So let me encourage you. You take the pencil. You figure out how much you weigh. You figure out how many calories, how much you need to maintain, how much you want to reduce it by. There's a chart in the back of the aerobics book for women that tells you how many calories you burn off. Like if you walk 4 miles in an hour and 20 minutes, you burn off between 250 and 300 calories. So you can see this. It's going to take a lot of exercise, a lot of discipline, a lot of perseverance to get these benefits. And real quickly, right here at the end, we just have to talk about the benefits. And I want you to help me. What are some benefits to living the way God intended us to live? I want you to write these on your sheet, please, so you can remember them. Can you think of any?
Longer life.
Longer life. Probably. Pardon? More energy. Listen, this is really true. Now, let me tell you the trick here, because I've learned it. When you start out, you do not have more energy. You have a whole bunch less. You're exhausted. You drag in. You know, you put those shoes on. You've gone out and done whatever it is you're going to do. And you're exhausted. And I'd come in day after, when am I going to start feeling better, you know? And Bob would say, just hang in there, you know, just hang in there. I want to tell you that because I did, you know, a year ago, I just can't tell you how good I feel. I feel good to be alive. So I want to encourage you, hang in there. It will come. It does take a while. It really does. Initially, you have less energy when you begin. So just stay with it, and you will have more. What else?
What, Juanita?
Before you start feeling better, probably it depends on just the individual. I would say the combination, probably it was 6 or 7 months before I really began to see a difference in my energy level. Pardon?
You can show health improvement a lot quicker than 6, 7 months.
Okay.
If you'll sustain the weight loss.
Right. Yeah. Well, now, I did do that, though. In my case, that was how long it took. But, see, at the same time, I'm getting rid of the sugar and the white flour and the salt and excess. So all that, it all combines together to make you feel better. What else?
Probably better digestive system.
All right. Better digestive system. Oh, self-esteem. There's no doubt about that. Positive self-esteem. I mean, I can remember coming out of stores. And I really mean this. I really did hate myself. I really did. And I don't feel that way anymore. And I'm not, you know, a women's liber or this build up ourselves thing, but I really believe that for us to be able to reach out and help others, we need to feel good about ourselves. And I really do. And not just, you know, not just the outward, but the inward. All right, a testimony to others. Because what is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And this, I guarantee you, if you're exercising self-control in this area, it'll come in many other areas too. When you come down in your clothes size, and that relates to self-esteem, but this really was a tangible for me. Instead of continually going up.
And don't buy it.
Right.
You want to wait and get that.
Yes, now I've done that. Plus, I've also been able to buy smaller sizes and get into them too, which is really good. Okay, well, we could list some more, but we need to stop. Look at your little card that you wrote when you first came in. You wrote down why you're here, and I hope you are honest. I'd like for you to look at that, and I hope that some of the things that we've shared this morning have really been helpful to you and encouraging to you, encouraged you to do what would please God. But one of the things that we have opportunity to do this week that we don't anywhere else, nearly anywhere else, is to get some time alone with Him. And I would encourage you that if this is a need in your life, and some of you it really is, and for others you are just here because there was no place else to go. But if it's really a need, I know that. And I know, I do not expect all of us to leave here cranked up and come back a year from now transformed. But if it really is a need, let me just encourage you to get some time alone with your Heavenly Father before this week is out and ask Him, talk to Him, ask Him where He would have you.